Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella here. This is an interview with member Justin Silva on how he utilizes our program to purchase and sell houses. Enjoy. Hey, I didn't really give you much of an introduction here, so I'm just going to let you do it because I think
you kind of put me on the spot there with Luke being on the call. I thought that was between us, Jack. I've been a member for I think we just hit a year with y'all, and we started doing our first land deals in January. And so watching his success kind of drove me to work a little bit harder in the land side. But in real estate, there's so many different avenues to work through that it kind of led me into single family residencies here of late while still doing the land too. So, that's a quick introduction, I guess, if you will.
So how many deals have you done?
Land, I've done, I just did two more today that I wholesaled land on. So it was 42 pieces of land. I've got 7 on owner financing terms. Everything else has been cash deals, and then I've done 5 houses in the last month.
Nice.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Justin.
And you went and got a buyer first, right?
Yeah, and we set up I did one of the calls with you, the 30-minute calls, I wanted to pick your brain on pricing because you've talked about 2018 being the year of houses, and so I was trying to get a head start on everybody on that, and you were 100% upfront with me and transparent and said, hey, I have a buyer before I buy these houses, and so I kind of took that and I knew some guys that bought houses, so I sat down, talked to them, and asked them, hey, would you be interested in trying something? And they kind of looked at me like I was crazy because nobody believes that you're going to send out offers for less than something's worth and anybody's going to answer you. So we sat down. I had 3 areas in Texas that I had buyers in lined up, ready to go, and all of them committed, hey, I'll buy as much as you can put in my lap. And one of the areas, and I'll just kind of break down the numbers. One of the areas I sent 865 mailers out, had 0 responses, no hate. One of the areas sent 671 mailers out, got 2 responses, and bought 1 house. And then another area, we sent 1,335 mailers out, got 9 responses, walked 6 properties, and bought 4 properties.
Wow.
I love it.
So, and what are you making per house net?
It's one of the guys offered to pay for all the data and everything up front, and so he wanted to negotiate a rate because he didn't think it was going to work. He's like, yeah, it's no way it's going to work. And his data and mailers were like $1,000, and that was cost plus to give me something for doing it. And he said, just negotiate the rate. And we did $2,500 a house, standard fee for the assignment. And so what assignment fee is, for anybody that doesn't know that, is you put a house under contract, you have a follow-up form that's assignment of contract, and you assign your equitable interest into somebody else. And so it's, you essentially fill out 2 pieces of paper with the seller of the house, that the contract, and then the assignment contract with the new buyer, and it goes to title, and you get paid at escrow. So it's a quick $2,500 in that regards for him. And he ended up buying 4 houses. So
nice.
Did you get paid out of escrow or did he write you
back? No, I get paid out of escrow. I told him that way everything was up and up. He offered to pay me in advance if I wanted it. And I told him, no, let's just do everything out of escrow. That way we have contracts in front of us and papers. Good paper makes good sense, if you will.
Yeah, that's how we do it too, right out of escrow.
I'm laughing up that he didn't think it would work and then he bought 4.
Yeah. Well, so, it's go ahead.
You're not going to trip. I hope you start.
Your fees.
Well, that was just his on his deal. The other 2 paid $18,000. So all in all, it was like $26,000 in assignment fees for 2,800 mailers. And I think total cost in data and mailers was about $1,700. So it wasn't a horrible day at the office.
So you went to look at the property just for fun, right? Because you don't need.
Yeah, no, I did because one of the tactics I kind of wanted to do with being in this market and not knowing these buyers, other than a few conversations, I wanted to make sure I was on the same page with them because it's, to me, if you're kind of serving a customer in that aspect when you're a wholesaler, you want to make sure you understand what they look at when they're there and how they're pricing bathrooms. Because one of the things I found in the market I'm in Texas is that you have a lot of chop shops, if you will, for wholesaling that they grind deals out of MLS, inflate the ARV, which is the after repair value, right, and then make it sound like a smoking deal that it's really not there. So if everybody's opinion's a little bit different, you know, you can find a good balance. And what I've found with just looking at different things in the single family residency or the single family realm is about a 70% is where they want to be after, or after they make the repairs. And in a hot market, that's tough to find sometimes. And the good thing is we have the data and we drive the inbound flow to us. So we essentially set that price of what we're willing to offer with our blind offers. When every other person out there just sends a postcard, says, "Hey, sell me your house." No, we say, "Hey, I'll give you 60 cents on a dollar or 65 cents on a dollar for your house right now, as is, where is, you just signed a contract to send it back." Some people called back and wanted to negotiate. And so that was our opportunity to say, "Hey, well, let me come do a walkthrough and see if there's anything else I could do for you." And when we did that, I mean, realistically, if you look at the numbers, if you don't have to remodel a bathroom or something like that, there's a couple more $1,000 there that you can spend to still hit your 70%. But at the end of the day, you're not going to give them the full 3,000. You're going to try to keep it down to 1,500. So there's still more margin in there. So
what was the average like price? Are we talking about $300,000 houses, $100,000 houses?
They ranged anywhere from the lowest one, the low end was 56 and the highest one was 110. So all in, with my assignment fees, I had two buyers that bought these houses. They spent $380,000, and with the repairs that they estimated, they'd be $450,000 into them, and their after repair value where they thought they were. These aren't my numbers blowing them up. These are their numbers. Or $650K is where they were going to be at. So they, wow. I mean, you generate $200,000 in equity for a guy in 7 to 15 days. He's going to call you back.
You're his friend. You're
modeling it, right? This is almost verbatim how we do this without actually going to see the property ever.
Yeah. And I'd like to get to that point, but being new to real estate, I've bought and sold 8 houses in my life just because I moved. I was in a railroad for 14 years. My last job was a chief operating officer for a railroad. And so when I left that and started doing real estate full time, I kind of wanted to expand my horizons just from land to, you know, to check the bucket, because everybody asked about houses. And so I was like, okay, well, let's learn this. So I kind of gave myself a crash course as I'm waiting for y'all's course to come out so I can actually learn it and see what I'm missing and move from there. So
sounds like you could teach the course.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
the one thing that the land does for us, it gives us the confidence to know how to look at the data. And that's what drives everything for this is the data drives the conversation on how you're going to price and drives everything, your inbound flow. I mean, we can send postcards all day, but that price being on there does something that nobody else can do.
I agree.
And that's where you get that value add.
Well said.
That makes me so happy to hear that, Justin. And it's the hardest point that I have to try to convince people. They think that that's the wrong way. I'm like, all right, you just send all the postcards you want, handwrite them all day long, have fun. I'll be over here doing like what you're doing.
I'll be over here.
Yeah.
Exactly. One of the funny things that's come up in this, I had a guy and the reason I met one of these buyers was through a guy asked me to run mailers for him on a roofing company, which, you know, we have the data to do that. So he hit a storm area, sent his roofing, and then part of it was an equity deal, and it was a 5% equity deal on every sale. Well, he comes back and we sent 3,000 mailers out, and he's like, "I didn't get any calls." And I was like, "There's no way you didn't get any calls." He's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "I just sent out house offers at 60 cents on a dollar, and I got 5 houses bought. So people give me a house and you're offering a free roof and they didn't call you?" And he's like, "I didn't get a call back on that one." He just kind of left it alone and we went our separate ways. But you know, it speaks volumes to the data and what we can do with that.
Yep.
Bingo.
So last time we talked, you were ready to buy an apartment building.
Yeah, I left a meeting right before this call. That investor said, "Hey, I'm still wanting to buy these multifamilies." And we've talked about pricing. He has his thought process. I have my thought process. And I know we've discussed kind of how you price yours, and mine was pretty much on line with yours. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and run the look of it with the data, and then we'll price it. I'm going to price them all 3 ways to see what the variance is between them, and then let him look at it and say, "Hey, you know, this is what it is." But he's okayed. This investor's okayed 10 apartment complexes in the next 5 years. He said, "You give me as many deals as you can. I'm ready to buy." So it's kind of one of those things, as talking to people about with the confidence with our land, "Hey, you can show, hey, I've done, at the time we met, I'd done 30 deals. And I think the average return was 230%. And so he's like, "There's no way that works." And so you walk him through each deal, and I kind of let him see my books real quick. And I said, "Hey, this is what I've done and how I do it." And he's like, "Man, that's out of my comfort zone. But if you can do the same thing with houses, I'm interested and I'm all in." And you know, that's, that's what we came to terms for. And so now multifamilies.
What amazes me about buyers like this, and we have people like this, we work with people just like this, they know not, they're not interested in spending 2 days to learn how to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would rather just pay you tens of thousands of dollars per deal, which is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's crazy because that knowledge is key. And like, but what he told me is, I got so much other stuff going on, I could care less how to do this. Just you are cost of business. And I'm okay with that cost of business because you come in cheaper than I can get it. Yep. And so the conversation ended today was, hey, I know you said you do land. Can you do vacant lots in a city for me? Yeah. How much do you want to pay for a lot? He gives me a price. He says, that's what I want to pay for a lot. Get what you want off that. And you know, he's at the high end of market for a lot. And I'm like, okay, well.
I love infill lot mailers. And here's why, because taxes on an infill lot, you know, technically it's improved property. It doesn't have a house mm-hmm. on it, but it's got utilities and stuff. And the taxes are a lot higher every year. And same thing, there's usually no financing on it at all. So the tax bill that an infill lot owner gets is way bigger than a rural property owner. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, your percentages should be much, your yield on a mailer should be much higher than it would be on rural land.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah.
Excellent.
So are these guys real cash buyers, or do they have, how do they do it?
Real cash buyers. They will take, and on bigger deals, what they'll do is I think their net worth is somewhere in $150 million is kind of what my assumption is from just kind of seeing their business model. They have 500 rental houses and 100 owner finance houses and own a couple apartment complexes.
So they have $1 million in rent coming in a month.
Yeah. Yeah. But in looking at that, there's a father-son team, and speaking to him, the dad told me he goes, I don't have a money tree, but I have a money bush, and you'll never outspend what I have in money. And I said, okay, fair enough. So, bush. Yeah. So you think some of that's kind of hot air, but you know, looking at the things that they have, you know, it's, you would think it wouldn't be liquid, but it's all cash. So
awesome.
I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday, I think it was, that people don't realize how much money's out there.
There's lots of money out there.
They think,
money than sense.
It's really, there's a lot of people out there like this with a lot of money, and they don't know what to do, and they would love for you to do it.
Yeah, the hardest part is watching, you know, you see they spend $450K and they're going to make $650K back. If they sold everything, they're going to hold, but you watch that $200,000 you make them in less than 2 weeks, and you're like, well, crap, that could be my $200,000. So how do you build your nest egg up to that point? Or do you just keep going? So that's one of the hardest parts to come to realize is when you start actually looking at the numbers of what you can do. Because go ahead, Jack.
No, it's okay. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with like every eighth property doing that, especially in this market, because it's you know, you sell it so fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's one of those things is you like with the conversation about Luke Smith, watching him grow that fast and do that well. You know, how do you do that and get to that volume and those tricks of the trade and how you learn those processes? And I think that's the importance of the group like this is because you learn from each other and you see, okay, they do it this way. I think it can be done a little bit different. You try your twist to it and it works. And you're like, wow, that worked pretty well. Like the guy saying his phone's melting with hate. I wouldn't have read any of that. I just glanced at it on Pat Live and just kept moving.
Perfect. You know, right.
So, and
exactly.
Then you see your Pat. Go ahead.
Did you use their title agent or did you find your own?
I used theirs because theirs didn't charge an escrow fee on either side. They just only charged for the title policy.
Great.
So,
plus, if something goes wrong, you can say, "Well, it was your title agent, not mine."
Yeah,
the same thing with houses.
Yeah, yeah. I have one title agent on two of the houses. I used my title agent, and she was $100 cheaper on escrow than the other guy's was. So for both sides, so it was $200 cheaper for her to close for me on that. But that title group has been, they have vetted all my contracts. They have all my assignment of contract forms, anything I've needed, I've called them and they've given back. So I threw them some business just to thank them for that.
There's such an important relationship, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they like you, they'll put your stuff right on top and close it fast.
Yeah. I called them. I got a letter in the mail, the signed contract on a house on Friday at like 3:00. I called the lady. She said, can you be here at 4:00 to walk it? So I got there at 4:00. Had her re-sign the contract with it because she wanted to add a week to the close date. So I had changed the date, re-signed it, called the title agent at 5:30 on her personal cell phone. And she said, yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll call them and see if they can get somebody to pull the title plant for me tonight. Wow. And it's Friday night at 5:00. I said, no, don't worry about it. Just do it on Monday. And she's like, okay, cool. So they got it taken care of and they'll have it closed in like 7 days.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's really, really
I don't think cool. I've ever had that kind of service.
Exactly.
We're about to own a title company too.
I know.
Got to take them to lunch for margaritas. That's the secret.
Yeah. Love it.
Congratulations, hey, man.
Yeah. Luke Smith had some questions for Justin. He said, Justin, how are you doing inspections? Do you send the end buyer over?
He has walked it with me. The buyer for that's bought three of the houses has walked them with me because I wanted to walk. He's local. So we walk through them together because I want to know. And when we walk up, we say, hi, I'm Justin. I'm Land Couple. This is who you talk to. And they're like, oh, hi. And this is my partner. He's my rent guy. I'm the flipper, the wholesale guy. And so if we decide we're going to rent it, he's the one that's going to be taking it over. If we decide we're going to flip it, we're just going to do a quick inspection and walk through and look at foundation, look at, you know, obvious cracks in the sheetrock. Just a quick run through. We don't get too involved with flashlights, get up in the attic. It's just a quick run through. In our area, we know there's a little bit of foundation work. So we look for either prior foundation work, or foundation, because that's the big thing for us. I mean, that can be a $25,000, $30,000 thing. Cosmetic stuff. We know a kitchen's going to cost him $8,000 on his Rolodex of people that he has because they have a home building company too. He's got eight grand for a brand new kitchen, $3,000 for a bathroom. Flooring's going to cost him $2,500. Paint the house is $2,000. So he's got it priced out in his head what it's going to cost him. And it's the same numbers every time.
Cool. Tell us how you found these guys. It's interesting. I know you told me.
That call that we lined up was over a piece of property. It was 10 pieces of property that was one lady was trying to sell. It was $1 million deal and I didn't have $1 million. So I was kind of bummed about it. The lady wouldn't let me put under option and spend the money to advertise it for her. So, I was talking to a friend of mine and he was asking how the land business was going. I told him, I said, it's going good. I said, I just ran across this big deal. It's $1 million. It'll bring back about 2.6 if we can get it closed. And he goes, well, I got a friend that's got $1 million. Just call him. He'll sit down with you. And so he calls me back and says, hey, call this guy. Text him 5 minutes before you call him. And I didn't know who he was. And so when I talked to him, he tells me, hey, well, come to my office. I want to buy you lunch because I want to look at this a little bit closer. He's out of my comfort zone, but I want to look at it closer and at least buy you lunch. And I was like, okay. So we sat down. Turns out he developed my neighborhood that I live in, and he lived a couple houses down from me because he was waiting on his house to be finished up. And he lived in our model home. And so from there, the conversation, we started talking, and he was like, well, land's not really my thing. He goes, but it looks like you're killing it. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, the bad thing is your name brings so much extra money to the closing table where you're at. I was six houses down from you. Didn't even know I did 35 deals in the last 3 months. And he's like, no, you're right. And I said, just imagine how much money I could save you at the closing table. And that was kind of the conversation just to get it. I was like, I'll throw a Hail Mary, see what he says. And he said, yeah, you're definitely right. Let's sit down and talk some more. So, and that's how that one lined up.
It's a no lose situation for him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's not spending a dollar. Unless he makes a decision to do that.
Yep.
So that's great, man.
That's so good. Luke also asked, have you got any yes replies that you didn't buy? What kills those deals?
We actually did. Thanks, Luke. We had two deals that our offer was spot on. They were good to go. And it actually wasn't us that backed out. It was them when they went to go price rent because they wanted to get out of owning a house. They had 14% interest on their mortgage. They weren't cash flowing anything. They're trying to rent it. Or one was a rent deal and he wouldn't cash flow anything. It was just costing money. The other one was 14% interest with a variable balloon. It could go up to 20. And he was freaking out because he had two kids in college and he had a little bit of foundation problems. And so we go in, we look, we say, okay, we're good with the offer. They're good with the offer. They go to look elsewhere and it was cheaper for them to stay in the house with 14%+ interest than it was to actually rent.
Oh yeah.
And so they're like, their monthly bills were going to go up by $500, even though they were going to have $30,000 in cash in their pocket. It still wasn't going to offset that monthly cost for them. And that's what they were nervous about. And so they backed out. So we had two houses like that. One was an elderly lady that was going to go to assisted living and they didn't realize assisted living had got up into the $3,000 range versus living in her house for $750 a month.
So in both cases, it was a circumstantial scenario. It wasn't the real estate itself.
It was them trying to find someplace else to go and they couldn't do it. Yeah.
Interesting. That's cool. That's so good.
We don't get to know the owners enough to even know those things. Which
yeah.
Is beautiful.
You know, it's when I was 18, I sold life insurance. And imagine being an 18-year-old trying to sell life insurance to somebody that's like 50 or 60 years old. Yeah. And so I kind of felt that vibe again when I was sitting there. And I had this sweet grandma. She was like probably 85. Her husband made her buy the house 10 years ago. They put it on a 30-year mortgage, and he died 2 years later. And it was 11% interest. And her all in her payment was $775 a month. And she had it rented for $800 a month. And she's like, she was on a fixed income and she's like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, here, sell me the house and we'll get you taken care of. And she, her biggest concern was the her tenant not having a place to go. Yeah. So we agreed to keep her tenant in for another 6 months. And then at that point, we renegotiated a lease. So she signed a lease with us that day. We didn't do anything to the house. We had a tenant in it for $825 a month. And then that's good for the next 6 months. And it was going, it was a $54,000 house, $56,000 house.
Wow. So,
$50,000 for a house, Joe.
That's good. I know. Isn't that amazing? Luke asked, do some of the houses that you're buying, are you paying off the bank too?
Yes. And that gets done out of escrow or out through the title company. They pull all the liens and then they send it back out. And so I know that we've talked about LTV. You talk about LTV in some of the podcasts, you know, looking at that, trying to get 50% or below. Loan to value with RealQuest, that number didn't sit right. It just, the data wasn't solid for me on there. So what I did was I took a 5 year back and took 2012 prop, anything that sold after 2012. So 2012 going back to forever, and only foot mailed those properties. So, I mean, I still have some out there that I could probably get into that were 2012 newer buys, but that what I the thought was is I'm trying to buy that equity they've built. Yeah. And maybe they haven't known that the market has gone up 20% where they're at because it's a rental for them, or it's a, you know, it's some other situations going on. And that's what we've seen. That, does that actually work? We've bought for about what they paid in 2000, what it would been worth in about 2010, 2007 to 2010.
It's awesome.
Prices. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember we talked about that the last time we spoke. You told me about that. And since then, I've been looking at data that way. So, mm-hmm. I think it's a great way to do it. When we release the program, I will teach that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was no mortgage way.
Yeah. It was just a kind of one of those thoughts is, hey, they've been paying on it for a while, and you can run it through the calculator if you want. I didn't get that involved in it, but we did pull one property. We were off a little bit on the what we wanted to offer, and we ran it through and kind of figured out where this guy would be at on it, and then made sure he had money in his pocket to get his wife had been deported 14 years ago, and he was trying to get her back, and she gets to come back next year, and so he wanted to have a new place and cash in his pocket. So that's what we made sure we priced it to the point where he had cash in his pocket, and we still bought it at 61 cents on a dollar, I think.
Wow. So your wife is your partner, right?
Well, she was until we did our first mailer. When we sent our first 2,500, we sent our first 2,500 mailer out in a county in Texas for land, and the calls came in. And I had a guy, is an older gentleman from Louisiana. He called me and he told me that over his dead body was he selling me his property. And I just kind of laughed and said, "That's cool. Well, to take that letter and put it next to your will because your kids don't like that property and they'll sell it to me. So I want them to call me first." And he asked me if I was a smart donkey, if you will. And I said, "I've been called that before." And he kind of laughed. He says, "Well, I like you, but I'm not selling the property." Well, she heard that and she was like, "Oh no, I'll look up the back end stuff for you, but I'm not getting involved in those phone calls."
Yeah.
So
that's hilarious.
Now you have Pat Live doing it, right?
Yeah. I have Pat Live doing that. And any of the other stuff, since I'm doing this full time now, I'm just doing most of it. She'll help out when I need her to, but for the most part, I'm handling most of it. So
got it.
I have to ask you if a railroad makes any money.
Buckets. Buy a railroad.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No. That's, if you don't have railroad stock in your portfolio, you're not doing right.
Do you have a bunch of stock options left over?
I was at one of the top five class ones for 14 years. And when I walked away, I went to a smaller railroad, privately held. And when I walked away, I signed away a check for $250,000 in stock options to leave because I left before they vested. And then I went to work for another company. And when I worked for them for 2 years, and when I left them, they just went ahead and wrote me a check to for us to part ways. So it was, that's kind of was a little bit of the stake money to get started, plus what we'd already had in property. Mm-hmm. And we'd built our inventory up. But, there's dividends. I think, UP has paid, everyone's paid dividends for a ton of time, but I think UP is up to like 100 years of every quarter paying a dividend. And so,
wow,
and it's up in like
100 years consecutive.
Yeah. I want to say it's like 100 years, and it's like 55 or 70 cents per share. So
that's not
investing advice. We're talking here as friends.
Right.
So throw that in there. But yeah, they do make money. It's all about cost cutting and process driven. So having that background of how do you move faster, quicker, more, you know, the volume with the least amount of touches is exactly what you can do in this as you scale your business up.
right?
That's fascinating.
I have some more questions for Justin.
Yeah, this is not the place to talk about it, but I do. I have like 50 questions about railroads.
Okay.
Michael's saying, just to confirm again, is it 65% of ARV?
Yeah. How did you generally price these?
Yeah, so I priced, our numbers came out after everything with my fees was about 58.4% without repairs. You hear a lot of people say you want 70% with your repairs, and then so 70% of ARV being all in as an investor. And in hotter markets, that's kind of tough. I had my brother's a real estate agent. I know Jack, your sister is. My brother is, and he's not a very good one. And so I paid him $50 to pull the comps because I had 21 neighborhoods to price. And I was like, man, I could do it through Redfin. And I was pretty close, but I was like, why don't he just pull it for me? So he sent me all the PDFs, I paid him $50. He sent it to me. And I looked at the sold comps over the last 90 days and then put that by subdivision into a spreadsheet and times it 0.6. And that gave me my baseline.
Awesome.
Perfect.
And
Data Tree has fantastic completed sales comparison values.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
And then really Brandon,
some mystery out of it.
Brandon was asking, so you take the pricing and then base it on the square footage.
Yes. Be careful on that. And I'm going to own this mistake. One of my target areas, I sent it based on a gross area because I looked at the first 20 lines of data and they matched and I dropped it into my mail merge. And when I got it back out, I looked at it because I had some people come back and I was like, man, that price looks a little high. And on about half my offers, it added the garage, which the two-car garage is about 450 square feet. And so they went in higher. And so when they called me, I'm like, hey, here's what happened. The county messed up. they had the wrong data. I said, but I'd love to come out and inspect it because I think I can probably get you close to it, but just let me take a look at it. You know, you don't have the Grand Canyon in the floor. And the people were like, oh, yeah. So we bought three houses that I messed up on the offer on. We walked in and so we offered them 130. We ended up buying the house for 109. We offered them 128 and bought the house for 100, you know? So people respond to you being honest about, you know, your mistakes. You know, there's some humility in that and being upfront with them. Hey, if you don't want me to come, I won't come. But I think I can get close to where you're at if you let me come look at it because what you're telling me, your house is, you know, it sounds great with this, and this, because there's more emotion in a house than there is with raw land.
It's true.
So after this experience now, has it crossed your mind to do it on purpose?
new strategy. Well, foot in the door.
Yeah, and that's I thought about changing the letter, my letter for this to, we will pay up to pending inspection, and that way I'm there, because it, essentially once you get in, it's the negotiation part, and you say, hey, you know, if I don't need a bathroom, I don't need countertops, I don't need this, you know, good, but it also is kind of crossed my mind to go into these higher dollar neighborhoods that people may have bought into in like early 2000s that are now worth in the $300,000 and $400,000 range. And if you can get them for $325 and they just need, you know, fresher paint and you put $5,000 in for them, they're worth $400. Why not do that all day? If you can buy two or three of those a month and make $80,000 a month.
Right.
But you know, there are companies that are out doing that and offering 80%, and they're making money.
So do you see that, do you feel like there's any risk in this business that you just started at all?
Well, I've got 2 4-year-old kids and a wife that I'm the sole provider, and I've been doing real estate for 6 months full time. And once I have 9 things at escrow right now, including land and house deals, that will all pay by the end of the month. And that'll put me over what my salary was last year at the railroad.
Wow.
And you're just
and profit. And that's in 6 months. You know, I'm doing it full time.
I love
you
it.
You can play with your kids too.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I eat breakfast with them every day. I get to brush my daughter's hair every morning. You know, I was at work at 5 a.m. every day. And now they crawl in bed with me at 6:45 and we watch a cartoon on the phone and then get ready for the day for them to go to school.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's why we're
so happy.
That's what this is
that
all
is?
About.
That's why
Even
we're here.
Even if you made less, it's worth it for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Our goal, you know, me and my wife joke about it is, and we kind of play with it, and that the stress at first was real because, you know, my bills, and y'all have always been transparent with me, so I'll be transparent with y'all, are $5,000 a month. So every time we made $5,000 profit, it was, hey, we get to make it another month. We've made a month now. And that was our goal is, hey, how many months can we make? And so doing that enough times, you kind of like, you know, my kids now will dance with me when we do a deal. We say, hey, we made a deal. We get to eat.
The deal and, dance.
Yeah. And so
being, gotta film that.
Yeah. Being 4-year-old twins, they don't understand. They know daddy sits on a computer and makes deals. That's what he does.
Yeah.
But then to them that they're part of it. And it's refreshing to see that we have an avenue that, of course, it wasn't a guru trying to sell you an $18,000 course. It was somebody says, hey, this is how you do it. It'll work for you. All you gotta do is do it. I mean, it's up to you. And that's what, if you're willing to do that, take a chance. I mean, it's unreal the rewards you can do. I helped a guy that he did houses. He has an investor that lines up. He'll buy an owner house, make it an owner finance, sell the note, and he makes his money off the flip. Mm-hmm. And we talked about doing land. So I've been walking him through it. He bought into Land Academy here recently. And we just landed a 200-acre ranch at like 35% or 35 cents on a dollar. Wow. And so he's going to make probably 200 grand off this thing. And when you just think about that, that's his first land deal.
Wow.
And he's like, holy crap. Uh-oh. You know? Yeah.
It's like walking into a casino and winning. Like, no.
Yeah.
Here it goes.
Talk about unrealistic expectations.
Right.
Yeah. But that was somebody that had a real estate background. He's done 10, 12 houses a year for the last 5-6 years. So he understands that the numbers work, but he's like, he looked at my numbers and was like, there's no way that you're doing it this way. And he's like, I still don't believe it. And
then he did it.
Yeah. And the problem with the hurricanes that hit, it put offers, letter stream behind, or the offers to owner, it put them behind it by about 2 weeks. And so he's like, dude, nobody's calling me. And I was like, hold on. I haven't gotten any calls yet either. So, cause we sent out a mail around the same time. So we're working through that. And then all of a sudden it just started hitting. He's like, dude.
Yeah.
So yep. Here you can comes tell the mail.
The first day it hits, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've started adding my own line of data. So I know when it hits, cause it mails me. I mean, 53 cents to that peace of mind is just,
I do too. We do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never sent a mailer out where I haven't mailed myself just to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you work out of your house?
I do. We turned our dining room into my office.
Nice.
Remember that, Joe?
I do remember that.
So your wife doesn't want, she's ready to kick you out of the house.
No, she actually went to go take a part-time job at the kids' school to keep away from me. So she works 3 days a week with the kids at their Mother's Day out. So she's she was a teacher by trade. So she goes and does that just to get out of the house and kind of be around adults. So,
Jessica, right?
Yep, that's right.
I remember that.
What the hell is that?
I remember. Thank you.
Our name's Jack and Jill, and I can't remember that.
Right. That's true. That's true.
So Jill and I have two houses on one lot in Los Angeles because we can't. We just cannot spend that much time together. We could kill each other.
Yes. Oh, boy.
There's a book in there. Somewhere.
Oh, no.
You know, I should write the male version, and you should write the female version. Put it under one cover.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, did you see Luke put a note in here, by the way, Justin? I think that you guys mailed him an offer.
Did we? Nice.
Yeah, he pulled it over there. Like, I think I got some mail from him. So,
yeah.
So it's good. We all do that. I love it. I haven't done it yet. I'm gonna start doing that when we get the offers from our people. I'm gonna sign them, send them back. I'll put something funny in there.
Yeah.
So like, hi, it's me. Surprise.
Joe and I are leaving right after this call. We're going to San Bernardino County the whole weekend to look at real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole lecture about. Every vacation that we take can't be just about real estate.
Oh my gosh.
You need a tax write-off.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, he wants to do it. It's not like he's doing it because of that. That's what we did in Santa Barbara. My spa day in Santa Barbara became, let's go look at property on the ocean, which is not bad, but still, I wanted a spa day.
We tried to buy a piece of property right on the ocean.
If it were not under contract, we would have bought that one. Yeah.
That's
cool. So do you want to try to get these other questions, or should we ask everybody to kind of hold them till
we can blow through them? Yeah. All Justin, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thank you.
Awesome.
I'll check in with you probably in next week or so.
Congrats. Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
All right, we'll get back to these questions here. That was so great. I remember talking to, I think I talked to Justin and Jessica a long time ago together on the phone, is why I'm remembering that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So cool. And I love her, like, the first mailer, and I'm out. I will support you, sweetheart.
I remember.
No, but, you know, yep. Okay, Jake's asking, we're going to try to get through these questions. I'm not going to blow through them, but we're going to try to get through them quickly so we can answer them all. Luke just put, thanks, Justin. Great story. I need up my game. I love it. Jake asks.
We have natural competition now in the group. It's great.
Why can I not find land information request for any properties in Alaska?
That's always bothered me. And so DataTree will solve that.
Yeah. That's
entirely.
Yeah, you know what, Jake? You can send.
Because I think that we're missing a lot. I think there's a lot to be made in Alaska.
Send Jen. Jen at offers2owners.com an email, or support at offers2owners.com an email. Have her take a peek.
And make sure, yeah.
And I mean, make sure that it's.
I tested it, Jill. I picked some of the most obscure. I mean, this is like Christmas time for me now. Right. There's a lot of places I've wanted to send mail. And DataTree is going to open that up for us.
Yeah.
Like for 20 years, I've learned to send mail.
I know we have Puerto Rico, but yeah, check that.
Puerto Rico's in there?
Yeah, we did that one time on a call, on a member call. We tested Puerto Rico.
Is Guam in there?
I don't think Guam was in there, but I think Puerto Rico. We got some Puerto Rico property. So yeah. ShemGod. Hey, ShemGod. What's the easiest way to find if water and electric are available on a property? Besides specifically calling on each property, is there a more efficient way to do it when doing a high volume of properties?
No, unfortunately not. It's not part of the assessor data set. That's a good question, though.
I wish there was, too.
But it begs the bigger question of why do we need to know?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You know what I do, ShemGod, though? I do learn in certain areas. I know in X subdivision, and I'm buying 10 in that subdivision. Yeah. I'll just remember that information, and I'll just copy it every time, or I'll have it in a sheet, you know, somewhere. I know that information for that area.
Right.
So, but most of this, and then, of course, if it's way out there, here's how I look at it, too. If it's way out there, I will just blatantly say that it doesn't exist. And you know what? If it does exist, well, then it's a pleasant surprise.
Congratulations.
I under-promised and over-delivered. You just won, you know. And seriously.
I agree.
And I've had that happen to people like, oh, my gosh, there was a house by there, and the power happened to be going along my property line, so I got power. I'm like, you know what? Good for you. I'm so happy. And I leave it at that. Luke asks, for the multiple owners and mailers. Oh, good. Okay. This is good from earlier.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I tried sending letters with up to seven properties listed per person, depending on their ownership, making cash offers on each one or total if they want to sell them all. Totally busted mailer.
Wow.
Not one buy, not even a good option deal so far. I think it was priced too low, but still not one deal. I'm wondering if it was a different layout to fit the list of properties, or if I'm asking too much to buy all their properties and pricing them. So,
I don't know. You know, we used to do that. We used to combine the multi-unit deals onto one offer, and we don't do it anymore because it's not worth the time.
Yeah, it was extra work that didn't yield the response. Mina Mass, have you guys ever tried putting cheap comps within a 5-mile radius of in the offer letter to avoid some of the hate and potentially convert angry people? Nah, it's extra work again.
You're going to get the hate no matter what.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is just kind of laugh at it.
And let somebody else answer the phone.
I mean, if somebody has devised a way to dramatically reduce the hate, I would love to hear it.
Right. It's going to happen. There's people out there.
If you don't get a hate, it's everything, you know, it's like, did the mailer even go out?
Well, let me back up too. There's some people that are going to be mad anyway. Even if you send them an offer for two times what their home's worth, you're bugging them. You know, there's people that just aren't happy anyway.
By the way, they're not mad at you. They're mad at themselves for paying too much.
That could be too. That's a good one. Dave Ayers asks.
That's what I tell myself anyway.
You just keep.
Because no one that gets mad at me.
No. You're so silly. Dave Ayers asks, hello, Arizona Vesting Deed reads John Doe and Jane Doe, trustees or successor trustees of the Doe Trust dated September 7, 2001. John passed away and Jane is the sole trustee. Should the John and Jane Doe wording on the deed to me be updated or just record the death certificate and copy the wording as is?
That.
Yes. And if to update, how do you? Yeah. So the wording on the grantor grantee doesn't change. And at the bottom where they sign, you're putting as, you know, the sole trustee now. And then, you know, up to the recorder, some want the death certificate and some don't. You could just send it in anyway. I would check with the recorder.
So here's the thing real quick about trusts. Here's the, every time you have a trust question, tell yourself this. A trust is just a legal entity that can own property, just like an LLC. So, and treat it that way. Just because one of the members in an LLC died and there's another member, it doesn't mean you change the name of the LLC.
Right. It's still whatever company.
Right.
Thank you. Awesome. Shamgod asks, which states shouldn't we be offering financing in? I've heard there are certain states where it can be extremely difficult and potentially illegal to try to remove someone from the land if they stop paying. Mm-hmm. Which states are recommended to stay away from for the terms deals?
So I stopped answering that question, and I'm not going to answer it now because it changes so much. And a lot of what you hear about this topic is hearsay. Because if somebody had a personal bad experience in, let's say, Alaska, so they say that, you know, it's tough to deal with and all that. In the end, this is really, I hate to answer questions like this, but you really have to do your own research on that. And make sure, like, I know Colorado's got some quirky rules about financing, self-financing property, for example. So it's really important to do, but use landinvestors.com to really utilize other people in the group, use their experience, mm-hmm. or BiggerPockets too.
Yeah, and some of them, it just has to be done certain ways and...
And, hey, it's a hell of a lot easier to sell property for cash.
Yeah. Then there's always that. That's
and I think more profitable.
That's the thing. At the end of the day, if it's a pain in that state, so flip it for cash and move on. Thank you, Jack. Mm-hmm. Hey, Anwar. Jack.
I haven't heard from
Anwar. Yeah, I know. I'm like, hey.
Look, New York City.
Yay.
Every time I hear a honk, somebody honking their horn out here in Los Angeles, I think of Anwar.
I love it.
Every time I talk to them on the phone, there's just a hell of a lot of honking in New York City.
I love it. It's so good. All right. Anwar asks, you, Jack, you asked me to update you about the option agreement offer campaign I sent out. I got some results. I got 3 signed offers back, no questions asked. I'm moving forward with 1 for sure and still researching the others. Seller agreed on $22,000. Looks like the data supports selling it for $35,000 to $40,000 on the low end. Not sure I'd do a mail like this again, but okay, it worked. Great. Excited about this deal.
So real quick, Anwar sent out, instead of sending out purchase agreements, he sent out an option agreement.
Oh.
And they just signed it and sent it. I've never done anything like that.
That's what you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. That's cool. You know,
that's great.
There you go. No matter what, it paid for everything you just did. It paid. That's the thing. You just do one deal. It pays for all of your efforts like you just put in. You know,
it'll, like that's this deal true. Will pay for the overhead for your whole year.
Exactly. For all the stuff. So, yeah, good. Peter asks, when scrubbing data, if a property is shown as owned by a title company, is it ever productive to keep these in the mailer?
Here's a story. There was a in northern Arizona where I started this whole mess a lot of years ago. I kept seeing FATCO, F-A-T-C-O, all capitals, First American Title Company, mm-hmm. as an owner for like 50 properties in this one subdivision. So I said, you know what? And it said FATCO 3522, which is the name of the branch or the number of the branch. And I fortunately got to the right person and bought the property from them. Because what ended up happening is that the reason that title companies end up owning property is because of this. Let's say I buy a property and I sell it to Jill on terms and Jill stops paying and it's under a trust deed situation, you know, a deed of trust. And so the title company's orchestrating the whole thing. Well, Jill stops paying, and I don't feel like fronting $1,000 to get it back in my name.
Undo it.
That not every state's like that, but Arizona is. So they just, I kind of went dark. Joe kind of went dark, and First American Title gets the property. They don't pay the taxes on it, so it's. But you can. They don't want to own the property. If you get the whole trick is getting to the right person. When you get to the right person that can actually make that decision, however it works, they're going to sell you the property. They want to get that stuff off of their books bad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's good. Dan asks, does anyone have any experience with Texas Senate Bill 2212 regarding wholesaling assignments and double closes?
I am completely unaware
Shucks,
of that.
I should have asked.
Justin, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe Justin's...
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what that change is that you see a lot of guys send out, or guys and ladies send out buyers lists that have a list of houses for sale. And that they don't really necessarily own. They're under contract. And so now it's a truth in advertising change. So they have to say they're selling equitable interest in it, or it's a wholesale situation. So it's just adding that into your advertising when doing that. So it's nothing more than a few words added to it. So I'm on a bunch of buyers list for local wholesalers, and what they've added into their property is selling equitable interest of property and the information. That way they're saying that they don't own it, but they have equitable interest in it.
Right. Equitable title, right.
Yep.
Got awesome. It. Thanks.
Just thank disclosure. You. Thank you.
He's going to end up teaching this stuff with
us. Awesome. I know. Yeah. Well, careful.
Thank you, Justin.
Well, and now we know Jessica has the teaching background. So uh-huh. This is going to be good. Brandon asks, can you please explain why flipping for cash is more profitable? It seems that flip deals are less profitable to me. I can usually get 200 to 300% for flips and around 600 to 900% for terms deals.
You're 100% correct. But, you know, I'll, the truth of it is this. I am not a people person. I'm just not. And when I can just deal with it one time, double, triple my money, like you said, 200 or 300% on a margin, that's good enough for me. I'm a data person, so I justify the fact that I'm taking the lower road here, not the higher road. I'm taking the lower road, but I'm making up for it in deal volume.
Right.
And now Jill and I make up for it with the size of the deals.
We did like a whole
Santa Barbara ranches and stuff.
We don't have time for it today, but if you ask this Brandon at the beginning of a call next week or another week, Jack will go into a spreadsheet thing, and he's actually,
well, he's, Brandon's right.
I mean, but yeah, but the momentum that we get from infusing the cash back in is huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's a velocity of money situation.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the reason we don't have any rental houses anymore either, just because I can't. Every time Jill and I look at each other and say, well, we could sell this property for 10 times more than we paid.
Right.
Do you want $500 a month forever? Or do you want $50,000 right now?
Right.
I mean, that's an easy question. We don't even have that conversation anymore because we're both
cash. We both love the cash.
Yeah.
And that's just personal preference then, too. So,
love it. I have my sister is a terms is a rental. She owns like 50 rental houses, and she's like, I will never, ever sell one of these houses ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, and even if financially, I think she should. That's just her thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do this last one.
She's a people person.
She is a people person.
Like you are, Joe.
Thank you. Matt Rogers asks, okay, since the mailer hit on Monday, I've been letting all calls go to Google voicemail and calling back those expressing interest. 49 of 50 calls have left a message. So I should continually in the calls go to voicemail or get Pat Life in the interim if there's an answer.
Get Pat Life.
Yeah.
There's no replacement
for
answering the phone.
Exactly. Fortunately, awesome response that they're leaving a message, which also could be maybe you priced them too high. Just kidding. Just joking. But, you know, it does make it. This is really, really good, but I still would recommend having a live body, a live person answering that.
I'm really over in time.
I know. Could we do one more? Let's do this Chuck real quick here, and then we got to go. Chuck asks, I have several 1/3 acre properties in a platted neighborhood.
Yeah.
Any tips or tricks on getting rid of a pesky neighbor that's consistently discouraging my buyers from buying when they look at the property because he doesn't want anyone building near him? That's hilarious. Someone even put up a no trespassing sign on my property.
This is what I would do, Chuck. Aww. I would say to the people, I would just be real straight about it and say, the crotchety old guy X who lives on the corner is going to discourage you, so don't let it happen.
That's right. All right.
And Jason, there's one in every neighborhood, no matter what the value of your home is. We have one in our neighborhood. I'm not afraid to tell you.
What are you talking about?
There's always a crusty person.
Oh, the one.
You know who I'm talking about.
The one who called the cops on our party.
Yep. And way more stuff.
We had a permit.
Right.
So we were okay. But yeah, I gotcha. There's always one. That's true. All right. And Jason?
Her house is worth $20 million.
I know.
And she's got an attitude problem.
She's the one that says,
do you know who I am?
Yeah. You think all that money is make just a little bit happy.
Do you know who I am? That's our joke around here.
I do know who you are.
Do you know who I am?
You're the person who lives at the end of the block, block that has really bad manners.
Yeah.
That's who,
that's who you are. We don't care who you really, who you think you are. Whatever. And keep the photos coming in. Thank you for asking, Jason. I haven't, I got yours. I love yours.
Jason has a Murphy bed office. It's awesome.
Fantastic. So, yes.
The bed goes up into the wall, and then all his desks and stuff come out.
Yep, yep. Awesome. So, good. Oh, my gosh, you guys are, this is awesome. So, yeah, keep the photos coming in. So, what this is for anybody who's just hearing it, I'm doing my own, too. I'm going to put this all together. I think I'll put them, like, on Landinvestor somewhere where we can all share funny photos of like Justin's dining room table would be an awesome photo to see what he's got going on there.
You don't have to limit it to that. And one of my favorite pictures that we get from members is signed purchase agreement, stacks of signed purchase agreements.
Oh, yeah, I like those too. Well, that'll be another contest, but the office thing is going to be fun.
I don't know if Trevor's on the call, but he sent me a stack one time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, it works.
Yep. I think I've got those too, and I put them on like Facebook or something and showed those. It's awesome. Okay. Thank you, everyone, and have a great acquisition week.
Yeah. And thank you, Justin.
Yeah. Thanks, Justin. That was
super informative.
So much fun.
We will be back the same time.
Yep.
Thursday.
Got it. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.